In the gospel reading today, our Lord tells us that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. That sounds pretty easy. Just like it sounds pretty easy to say, well, Jesus died for our sins. He took on our suffering. So therefore, we don't have to suffer at all, because he did it all for us. Right. That's why it says a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem broke out, because Jesus did it all. The apostles, they knew that Jesus did this. The early Christians knew that Jesus did this, so they didn't have to suffer at all, because it was all done for them, right? Right. And all you have to do is just have faith that Jesus died for you, so you're going straight to heaven. Yeah. Cheap salvation is what that's called. A lie is also what it's called. It is necessary to believe in Jesus. There is no salvation apart from Jesus. No one is going to go to heaven apart from faith in Jesus Christ. No one. But that's not just enough. There needs to be more. And that is that we have to live this faith. These early Christians certainly had faith in Jesus, and they suffered for it. And they died for it. They didn't look at it and say, oh, all I have to do is have this nice emotional thing going on and saying that I believe in Jesus, my little warm fuzzy buddy, and I'm going straight to heaven. I don't have to suffer because he did it all for me. No, that's not what it says there. So it is necessary to have faith. And it is necessary to live that faith, to put that faith into practice. And we're going to suffer for it. That's just the way it is. And we could look at it and say, but why would God do that? He would do that to find out if we really have faith. In other words, it's easy when we just read the gospel to say, oh, yeah, I can believe in that. No problem. But when push comes to shove, are we going to? Let me put it another way. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. There was a priest over in England who was being interviewed. And he said, the problem for Catholics today is that the faith has simply become a philosophy of life. Because most Catholics don't pray, and most Catholics don't have a spiritual life to be able to live this out. And he said, no one is going to be willing to die for a philosophy of life. We are only going to be willing to die for a faith in Jesus Christ, whom we love. So if it's just a philosophy of life, this would be a good way to live. That's nice. But if I have to suffer for living that good way, well, then I'll compromise a little bit. I'll find a way to fit in. I'll find a way to make sure that I don't have to suffer. I can still kind of live this way, but I don't have to do it completely, then I don't have to suffer as much. I don't see anyone talking about that who has the word saint in front of their name. And they didn't live it either. They lived the faith that they professed. They suffered for the faith they professed, and many of them died for the faith that they professed, because they loved the one in whom they had faith. It wasn't just a philosophy of life for them. It became their life. And that's what the Lord is looking for from us. That's why he allows these things to happen. Because if we suffer and then we start saying, well, maybe I don't really believe in this, or maybe I should just water this down, or maybe I should compromise this, or maybe I should get along to go along, or go along to get along, or whatever, then we don't have faith, do we? Oh, but I believe in Jesus. So does Satan. It's a good thing we believe in Jesus, but that's not going to be sufficient. Because the devil can answer all the same questions that we can. Is Jesus the Son of God? Is Jesus the second person of the Trinity? Was Jesus born of the Virgin Mary? Guess what? Satan can say yes to all of those. So we have to do a little more than what Satan's doing, because obviously the fact that he knows these things didn't get him into heaven. We have to live it. And again, it's not that God is testing us to find out whether or not we really have faith, because he knows. He is allowing this so that we find out how much faith we really have. Maybe we can put up with a little bit, but then it starts getting a little too hot, and then we find out that, okay, I've got a little bit of faith, but then it gets pretty mediocre after that. Or maybe we can make it through a mid-level kind of suffering and say, okay, I've got a fair amount of faith, but then it starts to collapse when it gets to this point. Well, if that's the case, then you have to ask, what will happen when the final purifications come, when the final temptations come, when Satan attacks me with everything that he's got, when it comes to the end of my life, and I'm lying on my deathbed, possibly in a lot of pain, and all the doubts and all the temptations and all the troubles hit all at the same time? If my faith is only a little bit or mediocre, chances are I'm going to say, yeah, I don't really need to do that. But if we've gone through this life and we have demonstrated through the suffering for the faith that we have endured, then when the end comes, we're just going to keep saying yes to the Lord. Satan can do what he's going to try to do, and we're going to say, no, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to be faithful to him. To the end. This isn't just a nice idea. This isn't just a philosophy of life. Jesus is my life. He is the center of my life around which everything else revolves. I cannot live without him, and I will not live without him. If that's the way that we're looking at things, therefore I am going to say, then I'm going to follow his example. I'm going to follow his teaching. I'm going to believe in everything that he said. I'm not going to say I'm Catholic, but I don't believe in this or that, because then we're not Catholic anymore. I'm going to say, if Jesus Christ is God and he is the Messiah and he is the Savior of my soul, then I am going to immerse myself 100% into him. That's what faith in Jesus is about. That's where eternal life is granted. So the Lord will allow the various trials and sufferings in your life. It is to prove your faith. It is to demonstrate that faith to you, not to God, to you. So that if you falter, then you can go back and say, I need to do something to strengthen this. I kind of waffled over here. Or you're going to notice that I wimped out over here. I compromised over there. I need to get back to the drawing board. I need to get back to prayer. Look at what's missing here, and I need to keep working on this. That's why he allows all these things, for our good. Just as we see with the severe persecution that broke out, These people went around, they start preaching, we have lots of converts, and from the pagans we hear that there was great joy in that city. From the persecution of the early Christians came the evangelization of the pagans. God brings good out of all these things. So the immediate good is what's going to be in your own life from the sufferings that we endure. We don't know what else he's going to do. You can offer that suffering for your children, your grandchildren, your friends, for whomever. God can bring great good out of it that way. Maybe the example that you give to others at work and the family and the neighborhood is going to touch their hearts and they'll bring them to conversion. We don't know how he's going to work. But if we have faith in him, then we're going to say, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to stay faithful to him. In the midst of whatever happens, I don't have to understand it. I have to accept it. I have to try to cooperate with it. And I know that God is going to bring great good from it. That's what faith in Jesus Christ really looks like.